Okay, gentlemen, welcome back to another session of the Thursday evening Musa Shir. And we are continuing in the Orcha Sadikim, the Akdava, the Orcha Sadikim, in the series of CDs. It is number 17. And for Orcha Sadikim, this is Shir number 5. And in the middle of the page, we were discussing here the importance of Yerushalayim. How important is Yerushalayim? Lachain. Therefore, Yeshlach Molal Anoshim. One should have pity or compassion on others, hatfuim bahavle hashav, who are sunk, their lives are sunk in the meaninglessness of falsehood. Lelamdom tzedek hamishkol, to teach them the rightness of the weights. V'yosha hamoznayim, and the justness of scales. Lo'odiyam v'chinas hakesef, and to inform them, to make them understand how to evaluate the kesef, the silver, as was explained early in the previous paragraphs, that a person who understands the value and how to estimate and how to weigh the silver will, of course, succeed. Otherwise, he will be giving away that which belongs to him. U'lahoros lahem, let's continue, u'lahoros lahem hadrachem hayeshorim, and to show them the proper paths, l'man sheyivra ha'odam b'tchilas havchanosa mesila, so that when a person is making choices, he should choose the right, the path, ashativiehu, that will bring him, l'mokom ra'anom v'doshen, to a place which is fresh and fertile, asher sham kol hatova, that he will find there all the good. And that what he's referring to here, what is all this good? That's a Yerushalayim, asher hisov kol hamasim, which is the purpose of all hamasim, of everything that we do. And this is the one question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of every person, like it says, and this is the question of Moshe Rabbeinu in his final days, gentlemen, is asking this to the Jewish people before he departs from them. What is Hashem, your Hashem, asking from you? Ki'im li'ira, but only to fear him. And of course, we mentioned earlier that any time we come across the word fear, yira doesn't mean in terms of trepidation or of nervousness. It means a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's awesomeness or reverence for Hashem. Now, I just want to make mention of the fact here that the Gemara Berachos Lamed Gimel Amud Beis says that we learn from here the concept of HaKol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Meir Shamayim, that everything is from heaven except for Yerushalayim. In other words, that where a person reaches in life, Yerushalayim, that's dependent upon the person. Everything else he leaves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this understanding of Yerushalayim, or what Yerushalayim is, or his level in life that he will reach in Yerushalayim, that is up to the person. The Ran on this Gemara says that what Moshe Rabbeinu here is requesting of the Jewish people with this pasuk is a very high level of Yerushalayim. In other words, not the level of Yira, not of fear or recognition because of onesh, because of punishment, because of the consequences, the negative consequences that a person will receive if he doesn't respect, doesn't keep Hashem's mitzvahs and Hashem's Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is making a request, says the Ran, of a higher level of Yira, meaning just the recognition of Hashem's awesomeness. I do what I'm supposed to do. I follow the Torah. I follow the mitzvahs because that is what Hashem wants, and Hashem is awesome, and Hashem, and I must have tremendous reverence for Hashem. That is a very high level. Rabbi Cheskel Sarna says that this is the Rambam's source, that that every person, this pasuk, in other words, is the source for the Rambam, that every human being can reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, in what that means exactly, that we could reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, is a difference of opinion. The Rav Chaim Volozhin, the illustrious Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, of course, says that this means in terms of potential. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness was that he reached the highest potential that he possibly could have. And so too, every person is capable of reaching their highest level of potential. Most people in life, unfortunately, don't, because we don't, sometimes we don't recognize how high we can go. But the capability of reaching that highest potential that is within us, that is there, that we can match to Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, not in terms of the greatness that Moshe Rabbeinu really was, that's impossible, of course, but in terms of the potential of the human being, just like Moshe Rabbeinu reached his highest potential, every person can reach his highest potential. That's Rav Chaim Voloshin. Rav Chanan Wasserman, the great Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, of course, says that this means that in terms of being an Eved Hashem, a servant of Hashem, that every person has the capability of matching Moshe Rabbeinu. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, that was his namesake. At the end of his life, what does Hashem refer to Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Avdi, Moshe Eved Hashem, Moshe was the servant of Hashem. He became the ultimate servant. Whatever the master Hashem wanted, he did. So Rav Chanan Wasserman means every human being has the capability of matching Moshe Rabbeinu in those terms, in terms of being an Eved Hashem. That's what every person can become. Let's continue right after the parentheses. Ve'ein shemasa nechshav bilti hayira haTorah. The Aruch HaTzadikim says there is no action that a man can do which is nechshav, which is of value, without pure Yiras Hashem. Lachain, therefore, yesh lahodi al hakol, all people must be informed, ki kol ish harotzu lahavi nafshi lidei midos tovos, anyone who is interested in reaching the level of midos tovos, of good character, tzorach la'orev yiras shamayim im kol mida b'mida. Every one of our character traits has to have within it a mixture of Yiras Shamayim. Ki Yiras Hashem, now listen to these words, gentlemen. It's absolutely incredible. Ki Yiras Hashem hi hakesher shehu machzik kol hamidos. Yiras Shamayim, Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem, is the common bond that holds together all of the character traits. V'domel, here, listen to the comparison. V'domel l'chut shehichnisuhu tochore hamar golios. This can be compared to a person who puts a strand that is inserted into the holes of pearls. The kashru kesher betachtiso, and on the bottom after the person finishes stringing the pearls together, he knots the strand on the bottom, l'hachzik kol hamargolios, which of course will sustain, which will hold together all of the pearls. Ein safek, says the Aruch HaTzadikim, there is no doubt. Ki behinosek hakesher, if one undoes this knot that he made on the strand, yiplu kol hamargolios, all of the pearls will fall down, will fall apart, will come apart. Kachayira, so too is Yiras Shamayim. He hamachzekes kol hamidos. Yiras Shamayim is the common bond. That is the string, the strand that holds together all the midos. V'im tatir mimcha kesher hayira. If the person undoes this knot, this strength of Yira, of Yiras Shamayim, in other words, he loses his Yiras Shamayim, or he doesn't work on his Yiras Shamayim, yibadlu mimcha kol midas tovos, all of his good traits will fall apart, will fall by the wayside. U'kishena, listen to these last words, gentlemen, of the paragraph, u'kishena biyadcha midas tovos, if a person ventures to say, so big deal, I won't have midas, so I won't have good character, I have many other things, look at the words of the Aruch HaTzadikim, u'kishena biyadcha midas tovos, a person who doesn't have good character, midos tovos, ein biyadcha Torah mitzvos, this person does not have Torah mitzvos. He can never claim. In other words, a person can learn Shas. He can learn all the Rambams. He can learn all the Daf Yomis. He can learn all the Halachas. He can learn everything. Kol HaTorah Kula. But if a person does not work on his character, if a person doesn't work to perfect his Midos, then Ein Biyodcha Torah Mitzvahs. He doesn't have Torah Mitzvahs. And listen to these, particularly these last six words of the paragraph. Ki Kol HaTorah Tuluya B'Tikun HaMidos. Because the entire Torah is hinged upon perfection of character. And the explanation is simple. Because we are here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us on this world for Torah Midos. That's why we're here. I'm sorry, Hashem put us here for Torah. And since Hashem put us here for Torah, and Midos are needed for that, because as Aruch HaTzadikim himself said, that if a person doesn't have Midos Tovus, he doesn't have Torah Mitzvahs. So since we're put half a Torah, so the person who doesn't have Tikkun HaMidos, that's what he means here at the end of the paragraph, that the entire Torah is hinged upon Tikkun HaMidos, because the only way to have Torah Mitzvahs is to have the Midos. If a person doesn't have the Midos, then he doesn't have Torah, and that proves the point that the entire Torah is hinged upon Midos Tovus. So let's continue the next paragraph. What is the result of bad midos? Maybe a person will say, no, so I won't work on midos. And no, if I won't have midos and I won't have Torah mitzvahs, fine. But is it so bad not to work, not to perfect one's character? Listen to what Aruch HaTzadikim says. Kol hamidos tovos v'ros, all midos, whether there are good midos or the bad midos, hechacham yochol asos aros latovos, a person who is wise can transform the bad midah into a good midah, v'akasil, and the fool yasa midos tovos l'ros. Just the opposite, will transform a good midos into bad midos. Just to give an example now, the first person, the chacham who takes a bad midah and transforms it into a good midah. For example, a person who has gaiva. Gaiva is haughtiness. Of course, we will learn much about the haughtiness when we get to the Shara Gaiva. But just for example here, if a person uses the trait, the character trait of gaiva, of haughtiness, for the sake of Hashem, to stand up for the sake of Hashem, that doesn't mean, of course, that he is a haughty person, but he's manifesting. He's presenting himself as a haughty person. Why? Because he has to stand up for the sake of Torah. Here's the Chacham who uses a quote-unquote bad midah and he uses it for good. On the other hand, a person who's a fool takes a good midah and he can transform it and use it for bad. For example, the midah of Ahava, love. Again, the Aruch HaTzadikim later will have an entire chapter, Shara Ahava. But as an example here, a person can take the trait of Ahava, which is a wonderful character trait, and if he uses it the wrong way, he can transform it into something bad, like for immorality. If he uses the trait of love in the wrong way, and of course we'll have to discuss later on what love really means, but if a person takes the quote-unquote trait of love and he uses it improperly, it could lead him, of course, God forbid, to immorality. Let's continue. Mi shaholech b'choshech, a person who goes through life in darkness, ve'ino misbonim b'tikkun hamidos, and doesn't introspect and doesn't think carefully enough about perfecting his character. It's possible that this person will fail in one area. He will have one midah which he didn't work on, and it will make all of his chusim, all of his merits, go to the wayside. Kagon, for example, a person who shows off about his actions, a person who pats himself, pats himself in front of others just to make himself look good. And his intention for whatever he does in life is simply to look greater than others, to show rulership over others. And in the process, he regularly relates the failures of others. Oh, miskabid biklono, and he even feels honored at someone else's failings. Listen again to the comparison. When the Aruch HaTzadikim is making a comparison, he gives a mashal, an example. It's exactly like the lesson he wants to teach us. This person can be compared to someone who fills a barrel of praiseworthy wine, very high quality wine. On the bottom of the barrel is a pinhole, a very small nekev, a sofek, no doubt, that all of this wonderful wine will be lost, will seep out of that small pinhole, unless he sees to it to stuff it up, to repair the hole. Here's the nimshol. So to this person of haughtiness, afal pishu mole Torah, he could be filled with Torah, great Talmud Chacham, so to speak, very knowledgeable person, Yovad HaKol Al Yedei Hamida HaRazos. He will lose everything, all the Torah that he acquired, he will lose it all because of this one bad Midah of Gaiva, of haughtiness. Im Lo Yochush Meheiru L'Takna, unless he quickly sees to it to correct this Midah. An amazing concept. In other words, it could be a person who is seemingly on the top of the world. He knows Shas and Poskim, he knows everything, but he has a bad Midah. Everything that he has accomplished in life could seep out through that hole. I just want to give an example of a Maisa Shahaya, a case in point in history, recent history. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta had an illustrious student, of course, who we've quoted here many times, Rabbi Yitzhak of Petterburg. And Rabbi Yisrael, and Rabbi Yitzhak of Petterburg, rather, was known to learn Musa, believe it or not. He dedicated 4 hours a day to the study of Musa to perfect his character. 4 hours a day of Rabbi Yitzhak of Petterburg's quality time. So somebody else once asked Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, how is it, how do you allow your Talmud Rabbi Yitzhak to spend so much time on Musa? I mean, during that time, look how much more he can accomplish, how many more Gemaras he would learn, how much bigger of a Talmud Chacham he would become, and 4 hours to spend on Limud HaMusa, what it's all about. So Rabbi Yisrael explained. He says, let me give you a mashal. I'll give you a mashal if you have on Shabbos, of course, the halacha of Lecha Mishnah, that we need 2 whole breads, or challahs, or matzahs, to make a motzi Lecha Mishnah you need for the meals on Shabbos. Imagine for a moment, if a person had the 2 challahs consisted of one huge challah, one of those, I guess what we call today, one of those bar mitzvah challahs, one of those challahs that you see at weddings, you know, 3 feet long, 4 feet long, huge challah, beautiful braided challah. And of course he has another challah aside from it to make up the Lecha Mishnah. But before making the amotzi, he notices that on the very tip, on the very end of this long, beautiful, 3 foot challah, part of it is cut off. There's a little part of it, of the challah, which was either broken off or fell off, you know. And now there's a shaila, there's a question. Should he use that big challah, beautiful challah, for the Lecha Mishnah, or should he substitute it for a challah roll, called a bilkala, we'd call a little challah roll instead? Substitute a little bilkala for this beautiful challah or not? What's the halacha? Of course, no doubt. You can't make the mark. As big and beautiful as this big, usual, huge challah is, you can't use for Lecha Mishnah because it's not sholim, it's not complete. So it's a waste, as beautiful as it is. You can eat it during the meal, of course, but to use it for Lecha Mishnah, you have to substitute it for this little, in comparison, inconsequential little challah roll, this bilkala. So he says the same thing with my Talmud, Rabbi Yitzhak of Petterburg. Rabbi Yitzhak of Petterburg is concerned about himself, that with all the Torah that he has, with all the mitzvahs that he does, he views himself as that big challah. He's afraid that if he doesn't have perfect character, if his midos are not perfected to the nth degree, then himself, the big challah, will have a portion of it missing. It's a little piece missing at the end, which disqualifies it from its real use. In other words, big deal that he has all the Torah. It's not worth it if his character is not perfected. So he feels that in order to have the perfection and character necessary to consider himself a sholem, a complete, like the big challah being sholem, complete, he knows that he needs 4 hours a day learning Musa to perfect his character, and that's why he does it. But otherwise, he's afraid that the defect that he will have in his midos will nullify, so to speak, everything else that he accomplished in life. Imagine, gentlemen, the importance of Tikkun HaMidos. You can have someone who's sitting and learning Torah all day, and if he doesn't work on his Midos and character, this is the importance of perfection and character. So let's continue on the next paragraph. Uma'atim, he says something which is frightening. Uma'atim heim ba'olam ha'makir mo'emes. How many people recognize this truth, that character perfection is so important. He says, Ma'atim heim ba'olam. There are few people in the world, Hamakir mo'emes, who understand, who recognize this truth. Yeishem bo chokhma lahakir. There are people out there who simply don't have the wisdom to recognize it. Who kamoshein hakatua shtei yodav, shtei raglov yochol alos ala sulam. Just as a person who, God forbid, is missing his legs, cannot ascend on a ladder, can't climb up on a ladder. Kach lo yuchal lalos b'madregos hachochma misheim b'tavuna. So too, a person who doesn't have understanding, a person who doesn't have the wisdom, cannot ascend the ladder of wisdom. You have people on the other hand who are wise, who have chachma. However, have something else going against them, and that is they have habituated themselves, sort of like inborn. Nitva means taivas ha'olam, the desires, the passions of the world from their youth have become part of their being. To the point that all wisdom that he has, that he is blessed with, he uses in order to attain more taiva, more desires, more passions, and to fulfill the wishes of his yetzahara. Ki horgal minura b'masav aroyim acheim kvun b'nafsho, because he has habituated himself, he has become so used to from his youth acting improperly to the point that it's embedded within his neshama. V'koshulam odli mole mipachok yokush reshes ho'avonos, and it's very difficult for him to escape from sin, which has trapped him in a net. V'yesh, on the other hand, you have a third person. Sheyesh bo chachma lahakir, he has the wisdom to be able to understand the truth. V'gam chayfetz leilech b'drachim tovim, and he wants to seek out the good. However, lahoya eitzel achachamim, he didn't keep the company of talmidei chachamim, of the wise people, the good people, lishmo mehem achochma v'adrachim ayeshorim, to listen from them for the proper path to take in life. U'mitoch kach, and because he lacked the company of these people, holech b'machashakim, he goes through life in darkness, v'dome, and he can be compared to a person, l'mi sheyesh lo matmon bebeso, a person who has a treasure in his house, v'eina yodea hamatmon, and he doesn't know that the treasure exists, u'mocha habayis la'acher, and he sells the house to someone else. Imagine you have $1 million treasure in the basement of your house, and you don't know about it, and you put your house up to sale, and somebody buys it for $100,000. And meanwhile, you gave away, in the process, you gave away $1 million treasure. Imagine the reaction, imagine the feeling a person would have. Same through here. Here, this person has the capability. He has the potential to be able to learn the good way in life, if he'd only keep the company of, you know, of gedolim, of Rosh Yeshiva, of people who act properly and go through life in the proper manner, and he has the opportunity to keep the company of these, you know, of these kinds of people, and he doesn't. He's giving up a treasure. He doesn't even realize it. Now, this I just want to make a note of the fact that the Shlomo HaMelech writes the following pasuk: Holech es chachamim yechtam. A person who keeps the company with chachamim yechkam will become wise. What does that mean? The Metzud Das David on that pasuk says that a person who observes these kinds of people and learns from their actions, just by keeping this almost like osmosis. First of all, simply it means learning from their actions. If you watch, you observe a good person, you know, the Cheshuvim, the Gedolim of the world, the great people of our generation, if we keep their company and observe them, we learn from their actions aside from through osmosis. That's what happens. The Yalkut Shimoni, on that pasuk of Shlomo HaMelech, the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni compares it to a perfumery. And it's an amazing concept. A person who works in a perfumery, a factory that manufactures perfume, by dint of the fact that he is in that atmosphere, so to speak, he's going to end up smelling good. If a person says Yalkut Shimoni works in a tannery, a place that manufactures leathers, and it smells terrible, he's going to end up smelling bad. Why? Just by association. If he keeps the company of this kinds of material, he's going to end up like that material smell. So I saw this in real life. I experienced this a while back. You're familiar with the Aventura Mall here, that if you want to enter the Macy's department area, even if you have to go to a different store, they built it with such chachma, wisdom, that in order to make a sale, they entice you to buy from that first department. There's always the cosmetics department, perfumes and colognes and all these sweet, delicious smelling items that they sell there. And here I was, I had to buy a pair of shoes that is, of course, is in a different area, but you have to enter through there. So I walk through the Macy's department store for the cosmetics, and I arrive at the shoe department, and all of a sudden I sense in myself, on my clothing, on my skin, I smell the scent of perfume, of cologne. And it struck me what the Orach HaTzaddikim says here, and this mashal of the Yalkut Shemoni, or the comparison to the perfumery. Here I was, I didn't go over to any of the counters in the perfumery, in the perfume department. I didn't buy anything, I didn't try anything on, I didn't smell anything, but just walking through that environment, just walking through the atmosphere there, somehow, some way, you're affected by it, and it sticks to you, and it's part of you. So I saw in mamashus, in actuality, where what the Orach HaTzaddikim means here, just keeping the company of and associating with chachamim, with the proper people who know how to go through life, it affects us in a very positive way. Okay, so let's continue on the next side of the page, Rabosai. We're going to have a lesson now in human dynamics. What makes us tick? What is going on within us as we go through our daily routines? It's absolutely amazing. Hisponein, on the top of the page. Hisponein, delve into it, ki adam. If a person thinks about it, ki adam barov midosav, a person with his midos, with his qualities, with his attributes, with his character traits, zu mishuna mizu. There are different midos that are within us regularly. Every one of our midos is competing for our attention. This mida is schlepping us in that direction, a different mida is schlepping us in a different direction. And of course, the Yetzahara, that he's doing his job, he has to try to get involved and stick his nose in, of course, and tries to assist every one of those midos that are schlepping and trying to compete with our attention. And of course, he tries to incite the human being to choose the bad path. Listen to the comparison the Orach HaTzaddikim makes. This can be compared to a person who is walking through the wilderness. And in his travels, he encounters dubim, our bears, our arroyos, lions, and merim, leopards, uzevim, and wolves. And different destructive animals. This person traveling through the wilderness, he needs to open his eyes wide, of course, and he has to battle each one of these animals that are ferociously trying to attack him. If he blinks his eyes, even for a moment, he will be devoured by these animals. Here is the nimshal. So too is a person. Midosav haroz, his bad midos, his bad character traits, kagon hataiva. For example, taiva, passion, vagaiva, haughtiness, hasina, hatred, vakas, anger, vachayotzubahem, and similar ones, misgalgalos, belibo, tamid, are turning and twisting within his heart constantly, tamid. Vim yisale mehem velo yisakneim, and if a person tries to ignore them and he doesn't repair them, trying to improve them, yakar milibo or hoemes, these bad midos will uproot from our hearts the true light, viyomesh chosher, allowing the person to grope in darkness. About this person it says, Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. Consider Hashem before I consider Hashem before me always, constantly. In other words, a person has to be ready for war as if he is walking through that wilderness, that the Yetzirah is constantly, from the moment we rise in the morning until we lay our heads on the pillow at night, they're vying for our attention, pulling us this way, pulling us that way. Rashi, by the way, on this pasuk, Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, says, that David, and this is a pasuk in Tehillim, of course, and David HaMelech, the author of Tehillim, is saying, before my action or any move that I make, I view Hashem before me. Why? And Rashi continues to explain, because you never know where or when the Yetzer Hara will try to get you. So you see that have to be constantly alert, have to be constantly aware of what's going on, because I may be going through a relatively routine day, but the knowledge, the fact that the Yetzer Hara is within me and trying to pull me in every direction, that itself will assist the person, help the person to be able to fend off. Now I just want to make a note of what this possibly means. I mean, before we get to that, I just want to quote first a Malbim on this pasuk, a beautiful Malbim. Shavisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. I consider Hashem before me constantly. The Malbim says that it was the combination, David HaMelech is saying, the combination of Torah and Musar that kept me from going astray. In other words, David HaMelech is testifying about himself that Torah alone or Musar alone, it's the combination of Torah and Musar, either one alone could not have done it. And the combination of both Torah and Musa, that was which was those two items together allowed me to, or prevented me from going astray. Now I want to give an example, if you'll allow me, of what does it mean to be attuned, constantly be alert, on the alert for the Yetzer Hara. There is the well known incident that happened by the Shiftei Kah, by the Rachel and Leah, and Bilhah and Zilpah. If you recall, it says that Reuven went out b'mei ketzir chitim, that Reuven went out during the harvest time to collect certain flowers to give to his mother for the reasons of pregnancy, of giving birth, so on and so forth. And Rashi makes note of the fact that the Torah mentions that it was b'mei ketzir chitim. In other words, I guess Rashi's question is, the Torah is not a storybook. Why in the world does the Torah have to tell us what season it was? It was winter, it was spring, it was summer, who cares? Get to the point. Why does it have to say those extra words, b'mei ketzir chitim? It was during the harvest time of chitim. And Rashi says an amazing thing. Rashi says that since it was the harvest time, where people had their harvests, what grew from their fields, sort of out in the open. So Rashi says, and I'll quote the Rashi, it says, "Lahagit shvachon shel shvatim." The Torah tells us what season it was to relate to us the praiseworthiness of the shvatim, of the tribes, meaning Reuven in this case. She'es hakotzir hoya, it was the harvest time. V'lo poshat yodo begezel, he didn't extend his hand to take something which was private property. In other words, he wasn't over the avera of low sigdavu, of gezel, of thievery, lahavichitim saorim, to take for himself wheat or barley, eladavara hefker. He made sure to take something which was ownerless, shein adam makbid bo, which no one is makbid on. In other words, nobody would mind the fact that he is taking it. So you see that the Torah is praising Reuven that he took from something which was ownerless and he didn't take something which belonged to someone else. Rav Moshe Feinstein asks the obvious question here. This is the praiseworthiness of Reuven, one of the Shiftei Kah, the fact that he wasn't a Ganef, he wasn't a Gazlan. I mean, just imagine for a moment, a shul, the annual dinner, and you're honoring the guest of honor, and you say, ladies and gentlemen, we honor tonight Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, and you start relating the accolades of this person, and one of the things you say is that they're not lowlives, they're not thieves, they're not swindlers, you know, Ishkoyach. This is what we're praising Reuven, this is where Moshe Feinstein were asked. We're praising Reuven for not being a thief. So what does Rashi mean here? So Rav Moshe Feinstein answers, the point of the Torah is not to praise Reuven for not being a thief. That is obvious that Reuven was not a thief. However, Rav Moshe explains that a person reaches a certain stature in his life where he feels confident enough that he's not going to do the most basic wrong things, you know, and transgress the most basic averus. You know, Reuven was a great person, obviously, and he knew he was a great person. And being that great person that he knew he was, perhaps you would imagine that to think about stealing or not stealing was not on his radar. Of course he doesn't steal. The greatness of Reuven was that he recognized the fact that just this kind of person who is so great and perhaps doesn't think about being alert to not stealing, that's when the Yetzer Hara would strike. The Yetzer Hara looks for an opportunity to get his foot into the door. He's not thinking about stealing, he's not thinking about honesty, he's not thinking about taking from the Hefker or not from the Hefker. I'm going to get him to steal. The godless of Reuven, the greatness of Reuven, and the praiseworthiness that the Torah is testifying here, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, was not that he didn't steal, but he didn't forget that you're not permitted to steal. He kept on reminding himself, lo signova, lo signova, lo signova, you can't steal, you can't steal. It was on the forefront of his mind constantly, this concept that I have to be careful, the Yetzer Hara may get me. And this is, says Rav Moshe, was the point of what the Torah is telling us here. This was the greatness of Reuven, not letting his guard down. Most people don't have their guard up because you feel confident enough that you're not going to do certain things. And that's when the Yetzer Hara strikes. And this is perhaps, I guess, along the lines that the Aruch HaTzaddikim is saying, Neshevisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, I view Hashem, I consider Hashem before me constantly. Okay, gentlemen, Yom Yitzhak Hashem, we'll get together again next week.